All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. So we're going to pick up. Actually, I realized I stopped a little bit short yesterday. We're actually going to pick up at the two dots on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, because again, the Gemara just ends off with the same basic conclusion, namely that the episode described in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol reading from the Torah on Yom Kippur, was done in the Ezras Noshim. So that we established yesterday, and after the Meisei, the Gemara reaches the same conclusion. So with that, let's pick up on Daf Mem Aleph, Amud Aleph, 41a, and let's go ahead and pick up two lines down from the top, last word on the line, V'kore Achre Mosva Ach Basra. So remember, again, there's a number of readings. For Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol does while stationed again in the Ezras Nashim. So the Gemara says, or many, the Gemara says, Reza Kasha, Medalgin Benoveh, Medalgin Metorah. So Yerba says, here's the issue. The issue that the Gemara explains is that the Kohen's reading, first from Acharei Mos, right, which is in Vayikra Tes Zayin, to then ultimately what the Gemara calls Ve'ach Ba'asra, which is the section describing Yom Kippur, which is in Vayikra Chav Gimel, which by definition necessitates skipping from Perek Tes Zayin to Perek Chav Gimel. So asks the Gemara, but didn't we learn that we don't skip around in Torah? We skip in Navi, but we don't skip around in Torah. Amar Abaye says, Lo Kashya, it's not a contradiction. To which the Gemara answers, you can skip, but again, Lamaisa, you can only skip if you skipped a short enough amount of space that the Torgamon will not pause. And as Rabbos, I remember, we spoke about this last week as well, that when they would lane, so you'd have the Balkori read the pasuk, and the Torgamon would go ahead and explain things. So the idea over here is you could skip around in Torah, but the idea is you can never have a pause in what's happening for the tzibur. 41a, seven lines down from the top. So the Gemara says over here, so you could go ahead and you could skip around, but you can't skip around so much that the Torgamon, that there'll be a pause. So as long as there's a continuity of reading, then Lemaisa, again, you could skip. I the Gemara of Ahala Katani, but yet we learned about this Medalgin B'Navi Medalgin B'Torah, that you can go ahead and you can skip around in Navi, but you can't skip around in Torah. The Ad Kama Medalgin B'Navi, and how much can you skip in Navi? So the Gemara says Akadish Lo Yifsok HaTorgamon. So interesting enough, the Gemara says that when it comes to Navi, the halacha is you can skip, but again, you can only skip in a way that the Torgamon will not be silent. Michlal de Torah klal klalo. But so we can infer from that statement that what? It's only by Navi that you could skip around as long as the Torgamon is not going to be silent. But it sounds like by Torah you can't skip around at all. To which the Gemara says, Elo Amar Abaye Lo Kashya, Kan V'inyan Echach, Kan V'shnei Inyorim. So we'll say, Elo Chamaisi, the Gemara says that when it comes to Torah, you can skip around as long as you are skipping within the same subject. But you cannot skip from subject to subject. How the Gemara says, "Kam b'shnei anyanim." So again, so this is saying, this is indeed. I mean, again, it's a little less halacha lamaisa for us for reasons that we'll see. But lamaisa again, you could skip in Torah, but you can't skip from subject to subject, which we can infer, by the way, that when it comes to Navi, you can skip and you can go in and you can skip from subject to subject. I v'hatanya medalgin b'Torah be'inyan echad u'benavi b'shnei anyanim. Also, now this brisa is brought. Normally Vahatanya is usually the phraseology of a question. Here it's not the great phraseology of a question. Here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is Benichusa. Benichusa means that this Brice is being brought as a proof to that which we just said. Vahatanya Medalgi Mitra bin Yinachad, Ubinavi Bishne and Yonim. Well, the Brice supports this idea that in Torah you can skip. In Torah you can skip within one inyan, and in Navi you can skip even in two inyanim. V'kan, but both by Torah and by Navi, b'chtei shelo yifsok ha-torgman. So both say, interestingly enough, bottom line what the Gemara is going to suggest is that Lamaisa, again, in Navi you could skip from subject to subject. In Torah you can skip, but it has to be within the same subject. And bottom line, for all types of skipping, you can only skip in a way where you're not essentially going to delay the tzibur unnecessarily. So if you can get to the next location, so to speak, before the Torgamon finishes what it is that he has to say, then lemaisa, again, you can do so. Ve'in medalgim inavi lenavi. However, the one thing you can't do is you can't skip from one navi to the next. Ubenavi shal shneim asar medalgin. However, again, in a navi of treyasar, you can go ahead and skip. Ubilvad shelo yidalik misofa sefer litchilaso. As long as what? As long as you do not skip from one sefer to the next. Actually, misofa sefer litchilaso means you can't skip from the end to the beginning. So in other words, backwards to forwards. So you could skip from Treyasar. You could skip with the Nevi'im of Treyasar, because again, even though we said you can't skip from Navi to Navi, the Nevi'im of Treyasar are considered to be one unit, one sefer. However, you can't go, as Rashi points out, you can't go l'mafreya. You can't go ahead and skip from the end of the sefer to the beginning of the sefer. Fine, Gemara says Vayter. Go l'as haTorah minichol b'cheikol. So remember again, the Mishnah explained, after the Kohen Gadol finishes his readings, he rolls up the sefer, he holds it by his chest, and he says, Yoser mimashe karisi lefanechem kasuv kan. More than I have read to you today is written in this scroll. So says the Gemara v'kol chachlam, why does he have to say that? Shelo lahotzi laz al sefer Torah. In order not to go ahead and cast dispersions on the sefer, because remember, there's going to be an additional piece that he's going to read Baal Peh, so that by heart, lest people think that he's reading it Baal Peh, because it's not written in the scroll, he almost makes a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is, there's much more written here than what I've read to you, in order that people should realize that everything is in fact written in the scroll. And Abba says, he reads the Be'asor, the section describing Yom Kippur, in Chomesh HaPikudim, ultimately, again, in Bamidbar Baal Peh. So the Gemara says, V'lichrachei l'sefer v'likri. I don't understand. Why don't you just roll the sefer to Bamidbar? I mean, you're already in Vayikra. Just roll the sefer to Bamidbar and just go ahead and read it from the sefer. Amar Rav Huda, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes. Levi she'in golalin sefer Torah b'tzibor. Because Rabbi said, we do not roll the sefer b'tzibor. Why not? So the Gemara seems to understand over here that this is a din in Kavanat Tzibor, that we try in general not to make the Tzibor wait, therefore we're not Gula, we don't roll the Sefer B'Tzibor. So therefore, better to read the section Baal Peh than to go ahead and roll the Sefer. So the Gemara says, one second, V'leisei Sefer Torah Achrina V'Likri. Fine, so if you don't roll the Sefer, that's fine. Take out two Svarim. Take out, what's the big deal? Just take out a second Sefer, read from the first Sefer from Chumash Vayikra, second Sefer from Chumash Bamidbar, and Shalom HaYisrael. So the Mishnah Gemara says, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Pegamo Shel Rishon. Oh, because we're concerned that if you take out a second Sefer, it's going to look like what? It's going to look like the first Sefer is deficient. So you had to take out the second Sefer in order to go ahead and read from the second Sefer, because the first Sefer was lacking. Rav Shimon Lakish says, no. And Rish Lakish says, because we don't want to make a bracha shina tzvicha. So what does that mean? That if you take out a second sefer requires what? Second sefer requires another ola, another person to get to that, which requires another bracha. So we don't want to make an unnecessary bracha. Therefore, better just to go ahead and read the second reading Baal Peh, by heart. So the Gemara says, Umi chayshin lepegama. Let's go back for just a moment. The first answer that was given is we don't want to take out a second sefer because we're nervous that it casts aspersions on the first sefer, that perhaps the first sefer is deficient and lacking. Ay, v'ha amar ab Yitzchak nafcha, rosh chodesh teves shechalios b'shabes. Rabosai, that's this week, right? We mamish have this situation, rosh chodesh teves is going to fall out on Shabbos. The second day of first day of Rosh Chodesh, excuse me, falls out on Shabbos. So what's the halacha, Bosai? Get ready, right? Get ready for a long day. So maybe Shalosh Toros. The Bosai, we take out three Torahs this coming Shabbos. V'kori, what do we do with the three Torahs? V'kori achas mi'inyano shalom. So remember, one is Parshas HaShavua, v'achas Shalosh Chodesh, one is for Rosh Chodesh, v'achas b'shal Chanukah. So Bosai, so what do you see from here? You see, now this is the extreme case. Remember, the Gemara didn't even have to bring down this case. You can bring down any case of Yomtiv. Every single Yomtiv we go ahead, or Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, where we go ahead and we read Parshas Shavuot from one and the supplemental reading from another. So what do you see from here? What is the point the Gemara is making? The point the Gemara is making is you see from here that we don't mind taking out a second Sefer, and the presence of a second Sefer in no way casts dispersions on the Kashrus of the first. To which the Gemara says, here's the Chilek. Tlasa Gavri Betlasa Sifri Leka Pegama. Supposed to say the issue over here is when you have three different people being called up for three different aliyos and three different svarim, there's no pigam, there's no concern that the first sefer looks deficient. Because since the three distinct aliyos, people realize they're three distinct readings. Chad gavra betray sifri, ika pigama. Supposed to say, where does the issue come up? Where you have one individual who's going to go ahead and read from two different svarim, That's where there's a concern that perhaps you'd be highlighting a deficiency in the Sefer. Therefore, on Yom Kippur, in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi said there's only one Ola, so to speak. And who is that Ola? That's the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol then closes up one scroll and opens up another, that's, and so to speak, it's same Ola, same Aliyah, that's where there's a concern that perhaps you're making a statement that the first Sefer is deficient. But any situation where the Maisa, every single Sefer comes with its own Aliyah, then it's understood you're not taking out another Sefer because there's a deficiency in the first. Rather, why are you taking out a second Sefer or a third Sefer? Convenience. And it's more than convenience, it's Kavarat Tzibor. Because although we could roll that first Sefer that we took out, as we saw, in Golilin B'Tzibor. We do not roll the Sefer in Tzibor. Now, halach l'maisa, that we paskin differently. We are Golil B'Tzibor, but only as a last resort. So, for example, if the Gabbai says, you know what, I don't want to bother with so many Sfarim, let's just take out one Sefer and we'll roll it around, that we don't do. But in the event that a Tzibor only had one Sefer Torah, then Einach Inami, let's say in a Shabbos Chanukah, you would be Golil from Miketz, ultimately, again, to Rosh Chodesh, and then afterwards to Chanukah. So, what's that's bottom line? Aloch l'mais. Mavarech alei shmona brachos. Remember, again, the Mishnah said that the coin makes 8 brachos on this reading from the Torah. Tan Rabbanon, mavarechin ala Torah k'desh, mavarechin beisak neses. So, we'll say, first of all, the coin makes a regular birchas haTorah. Right now, this specifically is referring to the brachos after the reading. So, make a bracha of asher nasan lanu. That's to make a regular bracha, asher nasan Torah asemes. The same way we make that bracha all the time in shul, the al ha'avoda, a special bracha for sacrificial service, the al ha'oda, a special bracha of thanksgiving, the al mechilas avon, kitiknon, and a special bracha ultimately again on the forgiveness of sin has been established. Al ha'mikdash b'fnei atzmo, we also going to make a bracha for the Beis HaMikdash, v'al ha'kohanim b'fnei atzmo, a special bracha for the kohanim, a'isra b'fnei atzmo, a special bracha for Yisrael, v'al Yushalayim b'fnei atzmo, a special bracha for Yushalayim. I will say, remember, all of this is, we saw all of this in Yuma. All of this is in Yuma. And the difference is in Yuma, however, the Gemara actually expresses, articulates what the entire brachos are. But these are the brachos that the Kohen Gadol makes on Yom Kippur. V'ashar tfila, and Rabbi said, then we conclude with just regular prayer. Tan Rabbanon, hashar tfila, what's the rest of this tfila? Tchina, rina, bakasha. There is ultimately prayer. Tchina is supplication, Rina is song, Bakasha's request, and all of it centers around She'amcha Yisrael Tzvichin Levashaya. All of it centers around the idea that Klal Yisrael needs a Yeshua. V'chosein b'shomea tefila. And we end off this tefila with the bracha of shomea tefila. Mikan ve'ech bo'se, this is actually so beautiful. What happens, and remember, this is Yom Kippur. So what happens after the Kohen Gadol finishes his avoda, and remember again, finishes his kriya, Kol echad ve'echad mevi sefer Torah mitoch beiso. Everybody brings their own sefer Torah from their home. V'koribo, and they all learn. They all learn. It's an amazing idea. They bring their sefer Torah. They learn from their sefer Torah. V'kol kach lama. And why do what? Meaning, why do we do this? Everybody goes home and brings their sefer Torah. Laharos chazuso l'rabim, to ultimately show the beauty of his sefer Torah to the general public. Also, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, mikan ve'elich. After the Kohen Gadol finishes reading his parsha of the brachas, called Echad Minat Zibor, maybe Sefer Torah mi Beis. So La Azara, every person brings his Sefer Torah from his home into the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. The Kasavar Ein Erev Hotzal Yom Kippurim. Inami Yerushalayim Daltov. Fine. So Rashi over gets into the intricacies about how you carry in Yerushalayim, exactly which we're not going to get into right now. Laharos Chazusa, Rashi says, Shel Sefer Torah V'noyav. D'amar Mar, Zekil Imadeo Salafan of Mitzvah, Sefer Torah Nabasis Nosh. Shabbos says so beautifully, everybody brings their Sefer Torah to the Azara. They go ahead and they learn from their Sefer for the duration of Yom Kippur. And why? To show off the beauty of their Sefer Torah. There's a concept of Zekeli Va'anvehu. This is my God, I will exalt him. And remember again, the Gemara learns out, this is the proof text for what we call Hidr Mitzvah, for the concept of beautifying a mitzvah. So when you have a Sefer Torah, you don't just get any Sefer Torah, but you buy a beautiful Sefer Torah, beautiful tzitzis, beautiful tefillin, beautiful lulav ben esrog, beautiful menorah, mohudr oil, and therefore that's how they spend the duration of Yom Kippur. Quite amazing. Says the Mishnah, Parshas HaMelech Ketzah. So we'll say, remember, these Mishnayos are building on the earlier Mishnah, because the earlier Mishnah discussed the things that could only be said in Lashon HaKodesh, or things that could be said in all languages. So the next one was Parshas HaMelech. So Parshas HaMelech, we're going to see, is Hakel. is, remember again, the reading, the special gathering of the nation, and the special reading by the king. So Parashas HaMelech Ketzad. What does it mean, the reading of the king, the Parashas HaMelech? So Matzei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag B'Shmini. So I'll say literally, on Matzei Yom Tov HaRishon, Matzei Yom Tov of Sukkis, of the first day of Sukkis. So this is the first night of Chol HaMoed, the second night of Sukkis in Eretz Yisrael. So what would happen? Now we'll discuss Shel Chag B'Shmini on the 8th. We'll discuss what that means. B'Matzei Shviyas, after the Shemitah year, they construct for the Melech a beautiful a wood platform in the Azara in the courtyard. And the king sits on the platform. At the end of 7 days, at the end of 7 years, at the appointed time, we saw this process yesterday. Remember, the Chazan is what we would call today the Shamus. So the Shamus, remember, he's responsible for the upkeep of the shul. He takes the Sefer Torah and he gives it to the Rosh HaKnesses. The Rosh HaKnesses is who? Is who we today would call the Gabbai. That's the Gabbai. The Rosh HaKnesses knows no Leskan. And the Rosh HaKnesses gives it to the assistant Kohen Gadol. The Askan knows the Kohen Gadol. And the assistant Kohen Gadol gives it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol knows the Melech. And the Kohen Gadol gives it to the king. Va'melech omedu mekabel v'kori v'yoshev. And the king of us, listen, this process is very important. The king, right, va'melech omed. So the king stands up, receives the Torah, v'kori yoshev. But he reads the Torah sitting down. We'll discuss why this is. I will say, now Agrippas HaMelech. Now, the Gemara talks about Agrippas. Now, I will say, Agrippas was a descendant of Hordus, a descendant of Herod. Whether he was the son or some great-grandson, again, is, you know, the Marashah points out as well, subject to historical machlokes, if we're talking about Agrippas 1 or Agrippas 2. Well, let's, for our purposes today, it doesn't matter, except for the fact that one thing does matter, which is, he is not a Davidic king. This is very important. Did I speak about Herod last week? Was it this year? No, it was a different year. Sorry. I'm not seeing other people. I want to be clear. You're my favorite year. You're my favorite year. I want to be clear. So the idea is, the Gemara discusses that the Chashmonoim, right? Remember again, this is in Yoni Diomos. I should spend a moment on this. There's a fundamental, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Chanukah, remember the Rambam groups Hilchos Chanukah and Hilchos Megillah into one. So in Perek Gimel, the beginning of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah, so the Rambam gives historical background to Chanukah. So the Gemara discusses again how the Greeks oppressed us, the Chashmonoim rose up, and the Chashmonoim conquered the Greeks, and the Chashmonoim also became the Melachim. Right, there was a Hasmonean dynasty for kings. So Machlokes Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not it was the right thing for the Chashmonaim to become the kings or not. The Ramban says it was a terrible mistake, and it was the very undoing of the Chashmonai family. And the Ramban says the reason for that is because the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, and Kohanim, again, is supposed to be Kohanim, and kings come from Yehuda. Therefore, again, the Ramban says they committed a terrible, terrible flaw, the fact that they took the monarchy for themselves, and this corrupted the Chashmonai family, too much power in the hands of one family, and therefore again it became their very undoing, and they became corrupt kings. The Rambam on the other hand says it was the best thing possible. The Chashmonai realized that they needed to solidify power. There was not enough of a basis for the monarchy, and therefore again they took over everything in an effort to stabilize Jewish people, which they did. They provided another essentially 400 to 500 years of Jewish autonomy and Jewish monarchy as a result. So to make a long story short, The Chashmonai family had a servant by the name of Hordus. Hordus heard a baskal one day, the Gemara says, that said, today is the day that is ripe for slave rebellions. That today, whichever slave rebels against his master will be successful. Hordus rises up against the Chashmonai family, and he kills them all out. Why did he kill them all out? Because, like most great rebellions, a woman, right? In other words, that he fell in love with one of the Chashmonai daughters, and he wanted to marry her. She realized that she would not marry him if he was a slave. So he figured, I have a great idea. I'll kill out her family. I'll become a king, and she'll marry me. Of course, it didn't work out as he planned. So what happens? She goes up to the rooftop of the house, and she calls out, and she says, I am the last remaining member of the Chashmonai family. After me, whoever says they're a member of the Chashmonai family, understand they're not really Chashmonaim. They're slaves. She throws herself off the roof. Herod takes on the mantle of the monarchy and claims that he is a link in the chain of the Hashmonai dynasty. Of course he's not, he's a slave. Interestingly enough, however, again, so that becomes Hordus. So we'll say, so Hordus today, they probably would say, okay, said that Hordus was probably bipolar. Meaning, in other words, because on one hand, he does such incredible things and good things. On the other hand, he virtually wipes out the Sanhedrin. He wipes out Jewish leaderships, all in fits and bouts of rage. On the other hand, again, the one vestige of the Beis HaMikdash that we have is Herod's wall, right? You go to Marasa Machpelah today, that structure is from Herod. So again, on one hand, Klal Yisrael owes him incredible gratitude for many things that he gave, but he was a very, very scary individual. So Agrippas, depending if we're talking about Agrippas 1 or Agrippas 2, is either his son or his great-great-grandson. Either way, Rabosai, Agrippas was not a Davidic king. So listen to what the Gemara describes. So Jewish he was Bepashtos, because again, remember, it's only on his father's side. It's pretty, according to most opinions, Agrippas' mother was Jewish. So not as much an issue of his being a Jew, as much as an issue ultimately, again, of him not really being fit for the monarchy. So what happens? So the Mishnah tells over here that what happens. So Agrippas Hamelech Amad Vekibel. Shabbos say Agrippas, when he would go in and do, he would do Hakel. So interestingly enough, Amad Vikibel, he would stand up. He would stand up ultimately again and receive the Torah. And Vikara Omed. And Agrippas would not sit down to read, but rather what would Agrippas do? Agrippas would stand up to read the Torah. Vishibchu Chachamim. And the Chachamim praised him for this practice because he was exhibiting incredible Kavanah Torah. Even though he could have sat when reading the Torah, he decided to stand up. What's actually a very moving Gemara, Mishnah, which shows you the greatness of Agrippas. When Agrippas reached the Pasuk, because remember, part of what they read on Hakel is Parshas HaMelech, the section of the king. When he got to the section that said, you may not place upon you, Ish Nachri, literally again, now Nachri over here does not just mean a Gentile. Nachri means a non-Davidic king. When he read these words, Zolgu Einav Demos, his eyes filled with tears. Why? Because he realized that he was not fit for the monarchy. Amrulo, so the rabbi said to him, Al tisyare Agrippas. Agrippas, don't be upset. Achinu ato, achinu ato. You are our brother, you are our brother. Vekori mitrilas, we'll discuss again this reaction in the Gemara. Vekori mitrilas ila hadvarim at Shema. So the king reads from ila hadvarim until Shema. Shema v'ayayim shamoa, aser ta aser, ki sechala la aser, parshas hamelech, brachos uklolos, blessing and curses, ad shegomer kol ha-parsha, ultimately until he finishes that entire section. Brachos shekoin godol mevarech oson, hamelech mevarech oson, and both are the same blessings that the Kohen Gadol makes on Yom Kippur, the king makes by Hakel, Ella with one distinction, shenosin shalregalam tachas michilas ha-avon, except any situation where, let's say, the bracha ends off with a forgiveness of curses, with a forgiveness of sins, so the king substitutes instead for that what? Sukkis, a suffix instead of a sin suffix, or forgiveness of sin suffix. Says the Gemara, Bishmini Sakadaitcha. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So the Mishnah says that all of this happens Bishmini, on the 8th. So the 8th of what? So the Gemara says, rather, Sa'ema Bishminis. It means what? The 8th. The 8th means what? The 8th year. The 8th year. So it says the Gemara, V'chol Hani Lamali. So here's what's interesting. So the Mishnah is telling me that all of this happens on the 8th year. So says the Gemara. So what, now the Gemara is wondering is, why do I need all of these markers, so to speak, to tell me what date this is happening on? Because remember, both say, he's telling me it's in the 8th year, on Matzei, Shemitah, on Moed, on the after the first day. Why do I need all of these markers to tell me the date? Because if it would have just said at the end, Hava Aminun, at the end of 7 years, Hava Aminun Nimne Mehashta, I would have said, let's begin the counting of 7 years as of now. As of now, va'af agav delo misrami b'shmita, and maybe I'd say I'd count 7 years, even though what? Even though again, it did not begin from shmita. Lo misrami shmita. So therefore, cause of Rachman, I should say, even though it would not end off after a Shemitah year. Therefore, Kasev Rachmana b'moed. Therefore, the pasuk says b'moed. V'kasev Rachmana b'moed. If would have just said b'moed, hava amin mereshasa, I would have thought that perhaps Hakel is observed when Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, Kasev Rachmana b'chagas Sukkos. Therefore, the pasuk doesn't know that it has to happen in Sukkos. V'kasev Rachmana b'chagas Sukkos. And if would have just said chagas Sukkos, hava amina afila b'yamtav acharon, I would have thought that what? That this is true even again, Yom Tov Acharon, even again, the last days of Sukkot. Therefore, Kasev Rachmana Bevo Kol Yisrael. Therefore, the Pasuk says when all of Klal Yisrael gets together, which is when Rabosai Amud Beis, Me'aschalta Demoed, the beginning of the Yom Tov where everyone is coming together, ultimately in Aliyah L'Regel. The Chazar HaKnesses Notal Sefer Torah, the Nosna L'Rosh HaKnesses. So what happens? So then the Pasuk says, the Mishnah says, excuse me. So remember, the Shamus gives it to the Gabbai to the Skan to the Kohen Gadol to the Melech. So it says, Shamus Mina, Cholkin Kavod Talmid Mokom Harav. So also we learned this yesterday, right? What do you see from here? That you can give Kavod to the student even in the presence of his Rebbe. The fact that we're giving Kavod to, excuse me, the underlings, so to speak, in the presence of the great people, indicates that you can go ahead and give Kavod to the Talmud in the presence of his Rebbe. To which the Gemara says, Rabbaye, Kulamishim Kvod the Melech. No, it's not true. Why giving Kavod, Rabosai, to the Chazan HaKnesses, to the Rosh HaKnesses, to the Skan, to the Kohen Gadol? Why are you giving all those people Kavod? That's all being done for more Kavod for the Melech. Because when you see essentially all of the levels below the Melech, it just amplifies the Kavod of the Melech. V'amelech Omeidu Mekabel. V'amelech Omeidu Mekabel Yoshev. Excuse me. V'amelech Omeidu Mekabel V'kori Yoshev. Agrippas HaMelech Amad V'kibo V'karav Omeid. So we'll say, remember again, the king is, he's sitting, then he stands up to receive the Torah, but then he could read the Torah again sitting down. So Omeid Mechlal D'Yoshev. So we'll say, when it says that the king stands up to receive the Torah, what could we infer from that? That's what? That he was sitting down beforehand. I v'ha'amar ma'ar ein yeshiva ba'azara el l'malchi beis David bilva. But Rabbi said, we learned this already. That what? That only Davidic kings are permitted to sit. Only Davidic kings are permitted to sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Shene'emar v'yavo ha'melech David v'yesh lefni Hashem v'yomer. Kedom Rav Chista be'ezras noshim hacha nami be'ezras noshim. To which the Gemara says, you're right. This is not happening in the Azara proper. Rather, where is this happening? It's what's called the Ezras Noshim, which is not Vuin section, which is not vested with the same sanctity, and therefore sitting there is permitted. Vishibku Chachamim. Rabbi says, what did the Mishnah say? That Agrippas was standing. He stood up, he received the Torah, and he read the Torah standing up. He would not sit down. To which the Gemara says, Shibku Chachamim, Shibku Michlal the Shapir Avad. So they praised him, they praised Agrippas for standing during reading, which sounds like he did something good. One second. Ha amravashi, afil man damar nasi shemachal al kvodo, kvodo machol, melech shemachal al kvodo, ein kvodo machol. But one second, we learned that even according to the opinion who says that a nasi has the right to forgive his honor, Rabbi say, who can't forgive his honor? A melech. A king, remember again, in order for a king to be king, the country has to respect him, and therefore if the king forgives his honor is not forgiven. Shene'emar, because the Pasuk says, Som Tasim Alecha Melech. The Pasuk says, place upon yourself a king. Shetehe Emaso Alecha. Literally again, because remember, the king's honor is not just about him, it's not just about the individual. What is it about? Right, it's about the office. Right, it's about the monarchy. So therefore, even if the king chooses to forgive his kavod, he doesn't have the right to do that. To which the Gemara says, how could Agrippas choose to stand up if that's being mochel on his kavod? To which the Gemara says, mitzvah shiny. We'll say, so for a mitzvah is different. The king can't forgive his honor, meaning in general circumstances, but to forgive his honor in the face of a mitzvah, that he absolutely can do. And therefore, Lemaisa again in a case like this, where again he's showing Kavra Torah, to show Kavra Torah, he's permitted to be mochel on his kavod. So we'll remember again, this is actually amazing. So remember, Agrippas is reading the Parsha Samelech, and the Parsha says that you may not place a foreign man as king upon you, which means even a non-Davidic king. So Agrippas reads this, he realizes what that means, that his monarchy is not really a Judaically legitimate monarchy, and therefore what happens? He begins to cry. The rabbis there tell him, don't told you, Agrippas, Achinu Ata, Achinu Ata. So what's the pshat? So it says the Gemara, Tana Mishmeid Rabbi Nasan, Ba'osa Shah, Neschavosoni Yisrael Kiliya, will say, in that moment, the enemies of the Jewish people deserved destruction. Rabbosai, now enemies of the Jewish people is a euphemism for the Jews. Right? In that moment, Rabbosai, we brought destruction upon ourselves. Why? Shechnifu lo la Agrippas. Because Rabbosai, we flattered Agrippas in a disingenuous fashion. What the Gemara is going to get into now is that one of the worst sins, it's actually quite interesting, one of the worst sins is chanifa, is flattery. Rabbosai, because what happens? So mamish, it's maisim b'chol yom. Right? That you see what? People flatter other people. They totally don't mean it. And why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? Because they want something. Because they want something, right? They're looking to get something from someone. So let's say, here's what's amazing, and this is an incredible yisod. And we saw this, by the way, many times in Mesillas Yesharim as well. You know, the Ribono Shel Olam does not expect us to be perfect. But what does he expect of us? He expects of us to be genuine. He expects of us to be emistic people. And once a person is not emistic, Rabbosai, that opens the door for all types of negative behaviors. So in that moment, when Agrippas is crying, and he realizes, Mamish, I'm not fit to be king, what should the rabbis have said to him? What should they have said to him? You're right. You're right. We love you. We love you. We appreciate. Or you know what? Or better yet, don't say anything. Just don't say anything. But when you go ahead and you say, Agrippas, achinu at, achinu, now again, I want to point out, Agrippas was a good guy. He was genuinely a good man. He really was. Vaharaya, there's a street in Yerushalayim named after him, right? I'm saying, right? Only named after good people, right? Although I want to just tell you something. You should just know, Vosei, to have a street Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh, named after you. I'm just telling you, you have to have some zuchus. I'm just, you know, not necessarily a tzaddik, but you have to have some zuchus. Lo kol adam zocha lechach. To have a street of a name of a street, the holiest place in the world, you have to have some type of zuchus. Abraham Lincoln. Look what he did. He emancipated this. I'm just saying, he has incredible zuchuyos. Incredible zuchuyos. Correct. So we'll say, so again, so the Maisa, all right, this is what happens when I get onto tangents. It's like the dam breaks. Everybody's holding themselves back. And then I open the Pischuli Pesach Kimachat, right? I give like a needle's opening. And so what happens? So again, in that moment, the Gemara is saying that when he was crying and he says, I'm not fit, again, either say you're right. Obviously, both sides. The fact that he's saying this and he's crying over this indicates that he's a good man who wants to do the right thing. I don't think he was ready to abdicate the throne. But Lamaisa, again, at least know that he was not the legitimate Davidic monarch. Or don't say anything at all. But the fact that they go out of their way to say, Achinu Ata, Achinu Ata, Chazal understands was a form of unnecessary flattery. And because of that, they are held accountable for that. Amar Abshem and Chalafta, Miyom Shegavar Egrofa Shalchanufa. Bosai, on the day, and Bosai, there's also a little bit of a play on words over here. So Agrippas, Egrofa. Egrofa means the fist. Rashi says over here, Agrofa shalcharu, Agrofa kocha shalchanufa. Da af agav di imo mi Yisrael ein ra'i lemalchus de evet haya vezila milsa. It will say Agrippas was Jewish, his mother was Jewish, but he was not fit for the monarchy. He was a descendant of slaves. So the Gemara says, on the day that the Egrof, the day of that the fist of Hanifa flattery gained hold of Klal Yisrael, nisav. So this Egrof is from that moment when, and again, the Gemara is holding the rabbis accountable, the Chazal accountable for this. Then on the day when they flattered Agrippas in an inappropriate fashion, that day the fist of Chanufa, the fist of flattery, took hold. Nisav suadinen. Look at Rashi. Nisav suadinen. Shechnifu hadayon es bali. So we'll say there is nothing worse for a society than flattery. Because we'll say, you know what happens after flattery? You know what happens after that? And we'll say we suffer from this today. What happens after flattery is moral equivalency. What's moral equivalency? Everyone's right. If you notice again, we can't condemn anyone. We can't condemn anyone. Which I will say, again, it's an incredible thing. That's why if you look in the society that we live in, no one's wrong. No one's wrong. Everyone is right. They just have a different opinion. It's not true. Not every opinion is right. Many opinions are wrong. And not every action, not every lifestyle is great. We'll say it's incredible you sowed. But what happens, the Gemara says, that the moment at the end of the day that Hanifa took hold within society, the moment that flattery took hold, then the mice again, it began to permeate every aspect to the point, Nisaf Suadinin, judges were unable to adjudicate cases properly. Why? Because the judges were flattering the litigants. Because what happens? It could be the litigants were rich people, wealthy people, influential people. So the judges, instead of doing their job, and we'll see on the stand, by the way, it's amazing. These examples are all examples of failures in Jewish leadership. It's amazing, right? It's not what the common people are doing yet. It's beginning at the top, and there's a negative trickle-down effect. V'niskalkalu ha-masim, Rashi says, v'niskalkalu ha-masim sh'agidolim ro'u ovrei aveira, v'lo michu v'yad me'chalufa. We'll say, listen to this. The leaders saw people doing wrong, but yet what? They didn't rebuke them. Why? Because suddenly, again, it's no longer wrong. What is it? It's just a different opinion, right? It's just a different approach, and we have to respect every single opinion. So also, you see a fundamental breakdown of society. And no person could say to his fellow, my actions are greater than your deeds. Now let's look at Rashi. But in other words, that no one was able to assert moral superiority because essentially, everyone was sinning. So we'll say, and again, it's amazing. How does all of this start? This all begins with Hanifa. This all begins, again, with the flattery of Agrippas, which we'll see, you have to understand something, that was a very public event. Everybody is by Hakel. So here you have Agrippas crying because he realizes that he's not in the right to be the king. The rabbis publicly are saying, don't worry about it. Achinu ata, achinu ata. Says the Gemara, that sends a message to greater society. This flattery permeates society, everything goes, everyone is correct, every opinion is legitimate, and it leads to a fundamental breakdown of society. So the Gemara goes weiter. Dona Shabbi Huda bar Ma'arav Vitim Rav Shimon ben Pazi Mutar l'hachanif l'rishoyim ba'olam hazeh. So this is interesting. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi says that what? You could go ahead and flatter the wicked in this world. In other words, that Rabbi says, sometimes you have to contend with the wicked in a way that we can't overcome them, and therefore we have to flatter them to appease them. Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says in Yishayo, lo yikari od l'novel nidiv, when Mashiach comes, we will no longer call the novel, right? Who's the menuvel? Will no longer call the disgusting person a prince. Ulechili lo yomar shoa, and we will no longer call the lustful person noble. So what do you see from here? Michlal de ba'olam hazeh shari. What's in this reference to the Messianic era? So the Messianic era, we will no longer call the sinners good people. But sometimes in this world, you know what? Sometimes in this world, you have to in order to survive. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omrei Hach. Reb Shimon Lakish says, for we learn from here. Kira'os p'nei Elokim v'atirtina. I'll say, interesting enough, Reish Lakish says, where do we learn this from? We learn from Yaakov and Esav, right? Because what happens when Yaakov meets Esav? He says, Kira'os p'nei Elokim, seeing you is like seeing an angel. Really seeing Esav is like seeing an angel? Sometimes you have to flatter the wicked. Sometimes you have to flatter the wicked just simply to survive. Upligid Rabbi Levi. And Rabbi Levi argues this. Then Rabbi Levi, Mashal Shal Yaakov, Mashal Yaakov, Ve'esav L'mad Dar Adomeh. So Rabbi Levi says, no, Yaakov has a different strategy. What's the strategy? La'adam Shezimin Es Chaveiro. So we'll say, it's compared to a case, to someone who invited over his friend. And what happens? Ve'hikir Boshem Avakish Lahargon. And we'll say, the guest realizes that the host wants to kill him. Amrlo, so what does the guest say? Amrlo, Tam Tav Shal Zesh Anitoim, Ki Tam Tav Shal Shal Ta'amti Ve'es HaMelech. And what does the guest say? The guest says, oh, you know what? This food is delicious. This is just like the food they serve in the house of the king. So what does the host say? Amar Yodele Malka. Wow, you know what the king's food tastes like? I guess that means you know the king. And therefore, Nistafi Velokotile. Therefore, I will say the host who had conspired to go ahead and kill his guest suddenly is not going to kill his guest. Why? Because he realizes that the guest is connected to the monarchy. Therefore, again, I will say, what does Yaakov Elinu do? Yaakov says to Esav, seeing your face is like seeing the face of angels, which says that what? That Yaakov knows what that Yaakov hangs out with angels. And therefore, if Esav sees this, Esav is going to be a little bit more reticent to do anything against him. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam she'ishbo chanufa, maybe afdi olam. I will say, any person who has flattery within him brings divine anger to the world. Shenemar, because the pasuk says,
V'chan fe lev yasimu af. That literally, again, those who have flattery in their heart will bring anger to the world. V'lo od el shein tfilas on nishmas. His prayer is not heard. Shene emar lo yashu ki asaram. But it's an incredible idea. How much HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises the midah of flattery to the point that he brings anger to the world. And again, which makes sense. All that Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be, it, not all, but one of the major things he wants us to be is just decent, upright, genuine people. God doesn't require perfection, but flattery, which highlights a lack of genuinity, that's a new one, right? Totally not a word, but it's going to work for today, right? Or genuine kite, whichever one you want to choose. So ultimately, at the end, that you lack that, Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't want anything to do with such a person. Let's go a little bit weiter. So it's Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam Sheish Bo Chanufa, any person who has flattery within him, Afilu, listen, this is amazing, Afilu Ubrun Shebemoy Iman Mekalalin also. I will say, even fetuses, even babies in utero, curse him. I was about to say that when someone possesses this midah of flattery, then what happens? Essentially, no one could stand him. Even children in utero don't want anything to do with this person. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, Omer l'rasha tzadikata. Remember, the person who possesses flattery says, he says to the wicked, you are righteous. Yikavuhu amim. The nations will curse him. Yizamu li umim. And literally, again, the umim. Now, umim, we'll say, literally means the nations will go ahead and cry out against him. Ve'ein kov elaklala. The word kov means curse. Shnei amar lo kavokel. Ve'ein lo'om ela ubrim. And lo'om, which means nations, dafka refers to children in Euro. Where do we know that? Shnei amar ulo'om mila'om ye'emat. Again, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav, this is by Rivka Yemini when she goes out to seek out the counsel, what's happening to her, what's happening inside of her. Bam Rabbi Lazar, Ka Adam Shishbo, Ghanufa, Nofel, Begehenim. Any person who has flattery ultimately falls into Gehenim, Shnei Amar, because the Pasuk says, quoting over here from the Pasuk, Nishayo, Hoy Ha'omrim La'ratov, La'tovra, woe to those who say that evil is good and good is evil. And Maksivachar, that will say, that's flattery. What does it say afterwards? Lachain, Lachin, therefore, again, what happens to them? I lost the place. Maxi Vachrav, Lachin Keeva Kash, Loshon Ish Vachashash Leheva Yerape. Va'am Rebelazar says, Kala Machnif Lechaveiro Sof Nofel Biado. We'll say another amazing piece. Anyone who flatters his friend, again, this is unnecessary flattery, and we'll say, I have to tell you, well, I'll tell you this in just a moment. So what happens? Sof Nofel Biado. He will fall into the hands of the one he flatters. Vim Eino Nofel Biado. If he doesn't fall into the hands of the one he flatters, Nofel Biad Banov. He'll fall into the hands of the son of the one he flattered. V'im eino nofel biad banav, and if he doesn't fall into the hands of the son of the one he flattered, then what? Nofel biad ben bino. He'll fall into the hands of the grandson of the one he flattered. Where do we know this from? Shnei Emar. Vayomer Yirmiya lichananya amen. Ken yaaseh Hashem. Yaakov Hashem es tvaracha. Now the Navi talks about a guy by the name of Chananya. Sapunt Chananya. So Chananya was a Navi sheker. He was a Navi Sheker, and he prophesied that the Golos was going to be over at the end of 2 years. The end of 2 years. When Yirmiyah heard this, so Yirmiyah says, Amen, Kein Ya'aseh Hashem Kidvarecha. So should Hashem go ahead and do as he said. Rabbosai, now Yirmiyah knows he's a Navi Sheker, but Yirmiyah essentially says what? Halavai. Right, Halavai, and it's going to be said, Halavai should be after 2 years. But Rabbi said, because he was a Navi Sheker, what should Yirmiyah HaNavi have done? Yirmiyah HaNavi should have gone ahead and protested and said, you're a Navi Sheker, what you're saying is false. It's not going to be after 2 years. But instead, what Yirmiyah did, the Gemara says, is that he flattered, so to speak, the false prophecy of Chananya. Therefore, what happened? Top of Membeis. Therefore, Vayihu Bishar Ben Yomin, Visham Baal Pekidos Vishem Yiriyah Ben Shalmiya Ben Chananya. Rabbi says, so what happens? Then the Navi tells a story that what happened, there was a guy who stood guard at the gate of Yerushalayim, and his son was Yiriyah ben Shamia ben Chananya, vayit pos es Yirmiyah ha-Navi leimor, elakazdim ata nofel. So we'll say, this grandson of Chananya accused Yirmiyah ha-Navi of being a traitor and siding with the Kastim. Vayomer lo Yirmiyah sheker, Einenu nofel al kastim. So Yirmiyahu says, you're lying. I'm not siding with the kastim. What happened? Vayitpos Yirmiyahu vayivyeo el asarim. Rabbi say, what happened? So they incarcerated Yirmiyahu. They beat up Yirmiyahu because they literally accused him of being a traitor. So Rabbi say, so what do you see from here? What do you see? So here again, because Yirmiyahu ultimately flattered Hananiah, it's like the Gemara says, when you flatter someone, you ultimately will fall into their hands. And if not them, their son, and if not their son, their grandson. As what happened with Yirmiyahu, that he fell into the hands, ultimately, again, of the grandson of Hananiah. Rabbi say, we'll stop over here for today. But again, I just want to tell you, this is a very important yisod, and especially for people in business, because sometimes people in business have to smear people in all kinds of ways. So again, you see, like, mutter, you see that sometimes, I'm not calling, you know, dealing with Rishayim, but sometimes you have to use some level of flattery. Person has to be careful that midah doesn't follow them into other areas of life. Because it's so easy that, again, sometimes the midahs you have in the business world spill over into your religious life, spill over into your personal life. So a person has to be careful that they don't bring that midah of Hanifa, which we see is so destructive, into other areas of life. So let me just end with a thought on Hanukkah. In preparation again today, Baruch Hashem, being Erev Hanukkah. So let me share with you a brief thought.